and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Nothing says hang on to summer like classic root beer float treats. At Black Bear Diner, they paired sweet root beer and decadent vanilla cream in a dreamy cream pie filling to make a root beer float pie, served in a graham cracker crust and topped with whipped cream and maraschino cherries. Grab one with your meal or box one up to go. Always shareable, always delicious. But hurry! Serve this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, where you can always feed your inner bear. Dine-in, delivery, and carry-out available.
Black Bear Diner.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You know, a lot of you know that when I'm deciding what I'm going to do a show on is I kind of wait for that God message, for that thing to say that this is what needs to be talked about this week. And I also really listen to my clients in my private practice, and I start to see kind of a theme with people that they're struggling with similar issues. And the theme I've seen over the last week or so has been that people are feeling lonely. And we're going to look at the idea of loneliness. I want to really break it down for you. It's not necessarily about COVID and quarantine and isolation that way, but that is definitely a factor in today's loneliness. But people feeling lonely and the loneliness that goes around our, you know, just our world is something that's been there long before COVID. So COVID making it worse, definitely an issue. But I want to help you understand exactly what loneliness is, and the different spectrum of it and what you can do maybe to fix it. So it's an important conversation, especially for this time of year in December and the holidays. But I've got to share a cute story with you. As somebody asked me before I came on the air, and they said, what are you doing your show on today? And I'm texting back loneliness, and autocorrect kept changing the word loneliness to kinkiness. And I'm like, no, I'm not talking about kinkiness. Wait a minute. And so I changed it back to loneliness, and before I could hit send, it would send a back to kinkiness. I'm like, no, it took 3 times to make that stupid autocorrect leave the word alone. So it was funny. So maybe that's the answer to loneliness is kinkiness, but, you know, who knows? All right, I just thought I'd share that with you because I thought it was kind of hysterical, actually. Okay, so let's talk about loneliness. It is something that many people struggle with at some time in their life, and it isn't necessarily a factor of age. I have talked to 25-year-olds who are lonely, 15-year-olds who are lonely. Little kids can be lonely. Lots of kids when I did a lot with sexual abuse and child abuse, it wasn't unusual to find a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old who was deeply lonely and feeling abandoned and just having to take care of their own devices about their life. So loneliness is not about age, but we do see a whole lot of loneliness begin to happen as people get older. In our senior citizen population, loneliness is probably something that they sit with a lot. How many seniors do you know that are in assisted living or in nursing homes or living by themselves and spouses have died and kids have grown up and maybe even live far away? So loneliness can come in different forms to many different people of all different ages. And let's talk about exactly what I mean by being lonely, because lonely is different than being alone. Now, some people are alone and they don't get lonely at all. They do well by themselves. They develop a life. They like a lot of peace and quiet. And they create something that doesn't make them feel lonely, but they like being alone. That's not exactly what we're talking about here. Those people are doing fine. And they might say, sometimes I get lonely, but usually if I do, I call a friend or I go do something. But I like my alone time. Then we look at people who are constantly busy, constantly pushed. They are never alone. Like, think of a single mom with a couple of kids, and they're at work and taking care of kids, and they crave some alone time. They would give anything to be lonely for a little bit. Okay, so that's a different sort of set of psychological circumstances. I'm talking about that lonely feeling that happens when you're missing something, missing someone, missing a feeling that you're hoping to have. And that can leave you feeling empty. Okay? And that emptiness can lead to kind of a depression and a hopelessness. So there's a hollow feeling about being lonely and wishing something were different. And you often don't know exactly what you're wishing for. I mean, you're not necessarily wishing for a partner, or that might be it. You might be lonely for your children. My mom used to call that having all her chickens in the nest. And she would feel lonely without all her chickens in the nest. So it's not necessarily just one thing. It can be across a spectrum. And that's something I want people to understand. Most mental illnesses, most psychological conditions, and loneliness is not a mental illness, by the way, but most psychological conditions happen across a spectrum, meaning there's a very mild end to that spectrum and a more severe end to that spectrum. So the very mild end of loneliness often looks like this. The person can be kind of quiet. Sometimes they're shy. Sometimes they're not. They can feel lonely in a crowd. So their physical body might show up, but they don't feel really connected and secure with anybody in that crowd. And they can even stand there feeling not seen or misunderstood, or no one knows what they're going through. And so even though they're in a crowd, or they've showed up at their church, or they're at the family dinner, they can still feel lonely inside. And I would say that that's at the real mild end of loneliness, and sometimes can be mistaken for depression, or back and forth, vice versa. So that lonely in a crowd feeling is definitely loneliness and something to look at. So let's go all the way to the other far end, where we're talking about pretty severe loneliness, where there's depression and anxiety involved. In an extreme sense, there might even be agoraphobia. Agoraphobia is a fear and avoidance of places and situations. Sometimes it's place or situation specific. Like, you might have a ton of anxiety about going to your family for the holidays, or going to the doctor, or going to the grocery store. You might have a very place-specific situation for your anxiety. And some agoraphobics are just never leave their house. They don't even want to go in the backyard or out on the front porch. I mean, there's severe spectrum on agoraphobia also. But that kind of isolation of self can be part of a package of extreme loneliness. And in that whole package can be severe depression, hopelessness, and anxiety. But the loneliness is one of the pieces of that puzzle, sometimes one of the causes of that puzzle. And then there's everything in between, where someone's pretty high functioning, getting out there and still feeling lonely in a crowd, all the way to the person who can't leave their house and feels extremely lonely and isolated there. So let's take a look at your loneliness. You're probably listening to this because the title caught your attention and you've been thinking, yeah, I feel really lonely lately. What is your loneliness like? Is it from lack of family and friends, or is it from feeling betrayed, like you don't have trust in family and friends, so you pull in and pull away. And that is often a precursor to loneliness that I see in my practice. People will say, I'm really lonely, and I'll say, well, how long have you felt lonely? And they'll have usually something that triggered the loneliness. They might say, my spouse died, or I feel like my family and friends left me, or when my husband got terminally ill and people stopped showing up and I felt pretty alone, that might have triggered loneliness. So they usually can tell you when they started to feel lonely. And occasionally I hear from someone, I felt lonely all my life. So let's really dive into this some more. When we come back, I want to talk about how we can contribute to our own loneliness and make it worse, and how sometimes, what is it that starts that loneliness in your life? So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I love this song. This is a song called Hope, and it's from Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. It's his CD called The Journey. It's a beautiful CD, and it just will make you feel good when you listen to it. It's about his journey, his own personal journey, and it's full of hope, which is a cool song. All right, you can go to randymcginnis.com. And he's on Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, CD Baby, all those places you can get his music. He's got 6 CDs. They're all different. And he's an incredibly talented musician. So thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music on the show. I think it's helped a lot of people. All right, so we're talking about loneliness. How do we contribute to our own loneliness? First, we have to really sit down and look at it. In fact, I encourage you to break out a pad and a pen and say, am I lonely? If the answer is like, yeah, I've known this for a long time. When did it start? What triggered your loneliness? Was it the loss? Was loss in your life? A death? Someone moving out of your life? A breakup? So when did it start? That's a really important factor for you to say. And if you say, I've felt lonely all my life, I've never felt like I have felt fulfilled or my heart's been full, note that down there too. So sometimes when we have something that creates loneliness in us, then we have to decide, how do we perpetuate that? Do we defend that loneliness because we feel safer? Like, do we let that create a bubble around us where we feel like we won't get left again or abandoned or hurt, betrayed? So do we defend it? And we say, yeah, you know, I'd rather be lonely than get hurt again. That's an important piece of the loneliness puzzle here. So what happens is loneliness begins to feel safer. Then you begin to kind of defend it. In other words, you put up your walls and your barriers. You stop going to gatherings, or you avoid the family stuff, or everybody at work is going out for a drink on Friday night, and you go, no, no, I got to get home. And so you avoid and defend. Okay? Loneliness can begin to feel like your normal situation. It can become your norm. Now, again, remember, we're not talking about being okay with being alone. We're talking about people that when they're alone, and even sometimes when they're not alone, they feel extremely lonely. Oftentimes when I'm doing couples counseling, I will have one person say, I'm really lonely in this relationship. So what do they mean by that? Usually it means I am not seen, I'm not understood, I'm not included, and I feel kind of left out. Even sitting next to someone on the couch watching TV, you can feel lonely. And sometimes that's an even worse feeling than if your spouse died and you're feeling all alone and lonely. So if you're feeling that kind of loneliness, that's kind of that thing that I'm talking about, feeling lonely in a crowd. You're in the middle of people or a significant other, and you still feel not seen, not heard, misunderstood, not a part of. There doesn't seem to be a physical or emotional connection that's happening there. And that can create loneliness. So if you have been lonely, if you are lonely now, when did it start? What created it? Now, for some of you, it's only been since all this quarantine stuff and the COVID junk and stay home and wear a mask so you don't see people smiling at you, which can definitely make you feel disconnected. Because all you're looking at is eyes, and unless the smile goes all the way to their eyes, you don't know what they're thinking or doing when someone looks at you. So all of that can increase loneliness or be part of it. So if you're saying my loneliness started with all this pandemic stuff, okay, just know that. If your loneliness started at a death or a breakup, note that. So then you're going to say, how do I contribute to this loneliness? How do I defend it? So I want to talk to you how that can become a really vicious cycle that can lead to more isolation and even more loneliness, and even to almost a pathological sort of loneliness that can manifest with deep depression and hopelessness. So there's this little cycle of functioning that I teach people about all the time. And the first part of this cycle, if you're going to draw a circle, there's going to be three spots on this circle. The first one is called self-talk. How do you talk to yourself? What do you say to yourself? It's that little voice in the back of your head. Sometimes think about the angel and the devil on your shoulder, and it's usually the very negative voice that's saying things like, don't don't go to church this morning because, you know, you're just going to sit there and feel horrible and feel lonely in a crowd, and that feels worse, and, yeah, just don't go. Nobody wants to see you there anyway. You know, who wants to be with you? You're depressed, you're negative, or it's going to be just like it was with your sister, or just like it was with your spouse, or your best friend. Think about that. What is your self-talk saying about your situation with your loneliness? How it was created, how it perpetuates itself. What's your little voice in your head saying? So you would write some of your key phrases on your self-talk. Sometimes I give that as a homework assignment to my clients. I say, I just really want you to tune into the little voice, and I don't want you to change it. Every time you hear the messages that you give yourself, I want you to jot them down so that we can look at them. And often people have two or three key phrases that they say to themselves, and when they get tuned into those and we can dissect where that came from, we can begin to change that. So that self-talk, go around the circle a little bit. Your self-talk leads directly to your self-esteem. How that little voice sounds in your head and how mean and negative and horrid that little voice is to yourself can directly influence how you feel about yourself. So when that little voice is saying, oh, don't go, you're going to feel bad, and it might be the same way as what happened with so-and-so, and, you know, you could get close to this person and have your heart broken again, you know, that little voice will make you feel less than, unworthy. It can make you feel not worth loving. So that begins to take on a life of its own. You've got the nasty little negative voice in your head leading you to feel less than, not enough, not good enough, not worth loving. And then that influences your real behavior. And that's the actual behavior you do in the world. Okay? So think of real behavior as how you actually go out and interact. So let's say you still show up at your church on Sunday morning and you're surrounded by hundreds of people. I mean, this is COVID time, so if you could even do that. But let's pretend like how it used to be when you could do that. And you would sit there. And if that little voice in your head is saying nobody wants to hear what you have to say and you're just going to get hurt again and your self-esteem is low, even though you show up and sit there, you may not be interacting. You may be pulling into yourself and isolating even though you're sitting in a crowd. Because you're not feeling worthy or unlovable or frightened to be hurt again. So that's what I mean by real behavior. Okay? Now, there's also, you might have really negative self-talk, feel really crummy about yourself, and so you don't go. You know, the family's getting together for Thanksgiving and you beg off somehow. Or you don't show up on Friday night after work when everybody's going out together. You avoid the friends, the family, the gatherings, the crowds. Even the small crowds. Okay? So that's how that little voice in your head can influence how you feel, which influences how you actually act. And that's one way that loneliness can take on a life of its own. You start to feel safer being lonely, less out there, less risk of being hurt again or suffering a loss again. And so you pull in and shut down. So the issue becomes there's more going on underneath of loneliness than just, I feel lonely. Because if you feel lonely because you have felt left or abandoned or victimized in some way, then you feel like your loneliness is not of your own accord. You feel like somebody's done it to you. But often with loneliness, something happens and then we defend it and and perpetuate it, so the loneliness takes on a life of its own. So I want you to take a minute to be thinking about what else do you feel underneath your loneliness, and what are those emotions? Because they can be complicated. I'm going to list a few right now, and when we go to break, I want you to be thinking, what other emotions do I feel underneath my loneliness? Do you feel betrayed, angry, fearful, defensive? Are you embarrassed about something? Embarrassed that maybe you don't look the same as you did 10 years ago, or you've gained weight, or you're limping, or something that makes you feel embarrassed about who you are? Do you feel not good enough, hesitant, worried, cautious? Do you feel depressed, anxious, abandoned? There's a lot of underlying emotions that can fuel how difficult loneliness can feel. So I want you just to think about those for a minute. And we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the ways that loneliness can be fueled. We'll be back in a minute.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
At the Wagner Law Group, their goal as a fire victims law firm is to advocate for those who have been victimized by Pacific Gas and Electric Company's negligence. The Wagner Law Group has been rated the number one fire attorney group in Northern California and has low contingency fees. So, if you or your loved ones have been affected by the Dixie or Zog fires, contact the Wagner Law Group today. Call 833-200-7111. That's 833-200-7111.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 16th for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. and 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas go towards supporting Turtle Bay education programming. To learn more, visit turtlebay.org.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Stargazer from Randy McGinnis' CD, Freedom's Hope. Beautiful music. Just makes me want to sit here and listen to it. All right. We're talking about loneliness. And I left you before we went to break with what are the underlying emotions that are fueling your loneliness or a part of your loneliness or something that created your loneliness. And I don't care if it happened to you or something that you did or just a situation of life. I want you to look at how you are feeling underneath all this loneliness, because in that becomes the path for healing and to change the situation that you're in. So underneath your loneliness, there's emotions. And are you defending against these emotions? We might say what you're really feeling deep down beneath it. So the loneliness is a righteous emotion, just like anger is a righteous emotion. But it's not very well defined. So underneath those heavy kind of emotions are the other ones that you feel, and that's what we're looking at. So if you're feeling grief and loss, if you're feeling betrayed, abandoned, rejected, if you've had a trauma that has made you pull in and away from the world because you feel unsafe, then you might be feeling loneliness as kind of a catastrophe or an avoidance response or a trauma response to what you've been through. Loneliness becomes the byproduct of everything that you're feeling. And it also can become that bubble in which you feel safe so that you don't have to interact and reach out to the world and change things. You don't have to become unsafe. So it's interesting to look at it from this perspective because all of those big emotions and scary emotions can make loneliness perpetuate itself and can at the same time make you feel like you want to stay in that lonely spot because it's safer. So let's look at loneliness that happens when it isn't what you want. And I can speak to this as my husband that passed away almost 5 years ago now of a terminal brain disease called behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration. And as Rich was getting sicker and sicker, he was sick for almost 10 years. But the last 8 were hard. The last 4 were horrendous. The last year of his life was beyond description. Take a whole show to tell you what that was like. But I was getting more and more lonely, partly because my partner was unavailable due to his brain disease, and the constant just going to work and then coming home and caring for him left me pretty isolated, and that created a whole lot of loneliness. One of the ways that I was able to deal with that somewhat was I belonged to an FTD, frontal temporal degeneration, caregiver support group on Facebook. And it was really cool. I've made some really incredible friends through that. Shout out to Lillian and to Connie, both of whom were FTD wives. But that supported me through that loneliness of caregiving for my husband with the brain problem. I could get on that site at any time. I could whine, complain, cry. We could laugh together and we could know what it was like. And there were about 40 of us on the site at the time, and we were from all over the world. So you could get on and there'd be somebody in a different time zone that was awake. And it was beautiful. And that kind of support made me feel a little less isolated. Now, was I still lonely? Yeah, I was. But was I a little less isolated? Yes, which helped me handle the loneliness a little more. We have an autistic person in our family who is just one of the lights of my life, my Allie baby. She's actually been on this show and talked, and she's amazing. But the family's also on an ASD, autism spectrum disorder, support group where we can interact with people and maybe not feel so isolated in how you have to deal with autism in your life. So that's been pretty cool too. So sometimes technology, like social media, like email or texting or whatever, can help you when you're feeling isolated and feeling lonely. You have to use it and hopefully use it wisely, because that has become a whole issue now too, with Facebook and all that, and having gone through a lot of difficulties. But you have to reach out and you have to try and you have to help. Now let's look at the other extreme of that. There are people who are lonely, isolated, and they escape into those things. It's safer for them, say, to get on social media and talk politics or joke around or post funny stuff or maybe talk to friends that way, where they're not getting very deep or very vulnerable, and they use it to escape and as a crutch so that they don't have to deal with their isolation or their loneliness. So like anything, there's good stuff about it. There's pros and cons to it. So I'm not saying all technology is bad, because it has probably helped a lot of people feel less lonely. But are you escaping into it? So that's the piece I want you to look at right now. How are you handling your loneliness? What do you do to try and connect with family, friends, the world? How do you interact with people? And is it ever in person? I'm pausing there on purpose because since this whole COVID pandemic stuff, some people are working from home, which has made them even more isolated. They're never getting out of their, what we jokingly call the COVID outfit, which sometimes is your bunny slippers and your sweatpants. They're staying isolated and alone, and it can really make the loneliness go from being just occasional to almost pathological, where it's really sending people into deep depression. In fact, it's been one of my worries with all of this because I'm seeing more and more people actually in severe deep depression where I'm concerned about suicide ideology with them. And they're not just adults. There's kids, too, because this is very isolating and lonely for a lot of people, this whole pandemic stuff. So is your technology helping you or hurting you? Are you finding a balance between that and real life, or are you escaping into it? And the piece I want you to get is that making your loneliness worse or better? And only you can decide that. But you can't underestimate the power of touch, of connection, of being in someone's presence in silence as opposed to being sitting at your own computer and there's silence. You post something and nobody hit a like on it or something and you're feeling isolated and alone. There is connection that happens when you are humanly in front of somebody. So you might go out and feel lonely in a crowd, like sitting in church or sitting at a restaurant or going out with everybody from work. You might feel lonely while you're sitting there, but don't underestimate the power of just being in human contact. Loneliness is often about no human contact, and it's also about being walled off and leaving human contact alone, leaving it away from you so that it can't touch you. All right, so is your loneliness based on something happening to you? What are the underlying feelings that you have besides just feeling lonely? And could it also be based on your social fears? It's important for us to talk about this because some people's loneliness has to do with them being shy, feeling socially inadequate or socially inappropriate, are socially phobic, and they end up creating this bubble around themselves because they're just not real comfortable with how to be social. I'm thinking of a client right now that I had who was very lonely and very isolated, even though she had a job and she went to work, and she helped people in her job. She interacted with people all day long. But she had a lot of fears because she was shy. And she said, yeah, I'm lonely. And yes, she's almost phobically shy, phobic about social interaction. And she said something really profound one day. She said, I have no idea how to begin to interact with people. I shut up. I get silent. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm super shy. And then the more I do that, the more I feel awkward and uncomfortable and super shy. And it's horrible. So we actually came up with 3 or 4 openers for her. And she practiced with me, and she began to use these openers as a conversation starter with somebody. And at first she felt canned and like it was stupid, but then she realized that once she was able to open up herself, it was almost like taking the lid off and saying one of her opening lines, making eye contact and smiling, which was also hard for her to do. We had to practice that. That once the conversation got started, she did much better. She was always better socially if someone else started the conversation. So if she had a gregarious person in front of her who was laughing and talking, she could do much better. But if she had to kind of interact and start it, she was at a loss. So that's kind of a shyness, social phobia sort of thing, social isolation and avoidance. And again, that's on a spectrum, right? I mean, somebody might do that just a little bit. Somebody might do that a ton. But what that did to her was made her feel extremely isolated and very much alone. Like nobody really knew her or got her or knew what was happening. So it was helpful for her to break that down and practice. It was kind of a key there. And I would tell you that after she did a bunch of therapy on the trauma in her life and the really nasty childhood she had, and resolved some of those issues in terms of came to terms with them and did better, and she worked on that social phobia a little bit, she felt much less isolated. Then she started getting involved in some things. And down the line, you wouldn't have known that she was shy. She was, but she had skills to deal with it. And it was really cool to watch her open up. It was beautiful. So we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we finish up, I want to give you some very specific coping skills that might help you change loneliness into something that doesn't hurt so bad. We'll be back in a minute.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This song is called True North from the CD Freedom's Hope. So if you've been looking for your True North, it's a really good song to listen to. And again, thank you, Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Won a ton of awards in different areas, played all over the world, played on stage with the Prague Symphony and the Knoxville Symphony. He's an amazing, amazing musician. I love this song, True North. All right, so we're talking about loneliness. And I want you to possibly, maybe, embrace the idea of changing your loneliness. Now, don't get scared. It is scary sometimes to make changes, isn't it? One of the first steps in trying to end loneliness is you have to want to. And I don't say that lightly. When we think about how often loneliness is a protective bubble, it keeps you from getting hurt again. It keeps you from going out and being involved. It keeps you in your grief and your loss, which sometimes feels like if you let go of grief and loss that you're going to lose the person you're grieving, which I can tell you from experience is not so. That is not how that works. But there's a fear of that sometimes, especially when this profound grief and loss you're feeling is a first for you. But you have to want to begin to change being lonely. The other thing you have to be willing to give up is that this loneliness has been done to you, that you're a victim somehow of your circumstances, whether it's been perpetuated on you from a trauma or heartache or abandonment or rejection. You have to decide, I'm going to take this into my own hands and I'm going to fix this. I don't want to be lonely anymore. So if you're resisting this while I'm talking about it, this is an area that you probably need some help with. And if you went into a therapist and said, look, I listened to Dr. Patty's show on loneliness and I am lonely and I am scared to death to change that because I don't want this to happen again. That's a really good place to start. And you've also just cut through a whole lot of beginning sessions. All right. So in this regard, you have to let go of allowing and perpetuating your loneliness. This is kind of a passive way of making loneliness take on a life of its own in your life. Now, let's back up a little bit here. You don't have to do something all at once. You can take baby steps to breaking the cycle that you've created for yourself that is perpetuating the loneliness in your life. You don't have to all of a sudden, you know, do horrendously different things. You might try one thing, one little thing, and take a baby step toward reaching out of your little protective bubble of loneliness, reaching out and taking a risk. Taking a risk of maybe being hurt again, of maybe somebody leaving you, of somebody you let someone into your heart and they could die. So a little baby step to take a risk. I want to give you an example of this. I'm thinking about a client that I had who came into therapy basically with what we call a complicated bereavement. He'd been married for a very long time. It was 35, 40 years. I don't remember exactly how much. But his wife had died. And she died rather unexpectedly. And so he wasn't like had years of a loneliness of an illness where he was kind of a little more prepared for it. I don't know how you can ever be prepared totally, but he was a little more not prepared. She died unexpectedly, and he was just having trouble pulling out of the grief, the loss, the depression. And one of the things he was saying to me was, I'm just so lonely. I never figured I'd be trying to walk through this life without her. He had grown children. He had a couple of grandchildren. And he would see them sometimes, although he was pulling away and isolating more, because they didn't fill his heart in the same way that his spouse had filled his heart. So his loneliness was profound, and that those interactions felt hollow to him, even though he would see them sometimes. So he was isolating more and more and more, and that was making his depression and his grief and his loss more profound. So we were working on changing that, and I challenged him to go find somewhere to help. He was not a man who could go reach out and say, help me. That seemed abhorrent to him, actually. So I said, I want you to find a place that you can go help just once. So we brainstormed some different things, and he ended up going to our local homeless shelter called The Mission and saying, I'd like to come help with your Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless. I'm open to doing whatever you need me to do. And they were glad to have his help. And he ended up serving food on Thanksgiving to the homeless and to people who were challenged that way. And he came in a couple weeks later after that, and he said, that was an amazing experience. And it was an amazing experience from his own therapeutic standpoint, because during that entire time that he was serving others, literally and figuratively, he didn't think once about being lonely. Now, this is a man who had worked hard all his life. He was retired when I saw him. He had a church. He had kids, grandkids. But he was still feeling lonely in a crowd. When he got out of himself and helped someone else, he didn't feel lonely anymore. So I asked him, I said, are you going to go back? And he said, yeah, I got on their volunteer list. And so he went occasionally. I mean, he wasn't going there, you know, 40 hours a week, but he was showing up and offering assistance and getting a little more involved. And that was the stepping stone to him allowing himself to not have to feel lonely. And it was very cool. I love that story because it got him outside of his hesitancy. And so sometimes the answer to not feeling lonely is not necessarily going somewhere and asking people to interact with you or include you or feel like you're wanted there at the family dinner or there at your church service or there wherever. It's going and offering assistance, offering your service, joining a committee at your church to help prune the roses or clean the church or deliver food to people who are shut in. Going and offering service gets you out of yourself, and you're not asking anybody to help you. You're not being vulnerable about what your problems are, what you need or don't need. You are simply getting out of yourself. So I would challenge you, if you've been really struggling with feeling lonely, what can you do to go get outside yourself, even just one time or a couple times? I promise you'll go three times and see how it works for you. It's, you know, when we joke around sometimes about people going and being a greeter at Walmart. Did you ever think that those elderly people who are being a greeter at Walmart are doing that because they're getting outside of themselves and they don't want to feel lonely? And if they happen to get a paycheck for it at the same time and it can augment their retirement, I think that's really cool. But we have to be in charge of our own loneliness. We have to recognize how we perpetuate it and create it. And then we have to allow ourselves to take baby steps to change that. So another piece of this is you have to figure out what it is you're avoiding and how that is making your loneliness be the safe little bubble where you are. Are you avoiding friends who've hurt you or betrayed you or make you feel like, you know, you're not included? Are you avoiding family? Maybe your family's crazy. There's a lot of crazy families out there. Are you avoiding family because they expect things of you you don't want to give? Or they need you desperately? Or they always want money from you? What are you avoiding? And why? The other thing I see people avoiding is they're exhausted. Like one person that a cl-
client that I had who was very getting her art skills together. And we talked about her going to the college and joining an art class. And she said, I'm just exhausted all the time. And I know that if I have to get up and go to a morning class a couple times a week, I just can't pull that off. I'm just too exhausted and I don't have the energy. So loneliness can lead to depression, which can lead to exhaustion, insomnia, and then the lack of motivation and the drive to be able to go do something that might get you out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.